This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible. One book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. And now, here's Sherry.
God bless you, thank you, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." This is Sherry, America's missionary messenger of truth. So America, men, women, boys, and girls, please open your King James Bibles to the book of Zechariah, chapter 7, verse 1, where we left off last time. Zechariah, chapter 7, verse 1. Excuse me. Now, just before we begin, I want to invite the entire United States of America, all 50 states, to a nationwide day of repentance on May 21st at 9 o'clock in the morning. It will be broadcast right here on my radio program via internet, WMIEFM.com. We're all over America, and of course we're all over the world. Now, my good friend and firebrand and demon slayer Scott Merson is going to join me, and we are going to pray and pray and pray and repent according to 2 Chronicles 7:14. Now, I want all of you who are prayer warriors, those of you who live in this area, I want you to come here that morning with our friend Laura Stevens and sit in the Amen corner, because Laura is going to lead you every time the Spirit moves. She's going to lead you to say Amen, okay? And then we're going to do this all over America. Now, all of you, here's your job. This is your country. If we don't repent, we're going to be gone. Every one of you, here's what I want you to do. I want you to text and tweet and email and Facebook and web page and call tons and tons of people. Don't call those same three people you call and they never come. Call people you don't know. Email the major networks, Fox Network, and then break it down. Sean Hannity, he's a Christian. Bill O'Reilly, people like that. CNN, ABC, NBC, Florida Day Newspaper, Claude Bowers Super Channel in Orlando. Get a telephone book and find churches and email them, email them, email them. This is time for all of America to come together. We're not teaching doctrine. We're not going to have a pretty show. We're going to weep and wail according to 2 Chronicles 7:14. And Scott and I are going to lead this, and we're going to just do this with the power of God. It's going to be broadcast. I will not be teaching the Bible that day. I'm paying for this myself. I'm going to buy 15 minutes more time to give us a whole hour. And we'll go all over the world. This is our only chance, a day of repentance for America, May 21st, 9 o'clock a.m. on radio nearby, 91.5 FM, internet, WMIEFM.com. God bless you, and God bless America. And now, Zechariah chapter 7. Zechariah is a prophecy of these very end times. And he's been giving Zechariah visions to show us what's going on at the end time. And in chapter 5, he gave us the seventh vision, and he told Zechariah to make a sign. It wasn't a literal sign, but it's a symbol. In other words, he said, warn the people to not be harvested with the first one that comes to harvest them. Remember, Jesus is coming to harvest us, but the Antichrist comes first. So don't get into that harvest basket. And he warned us, he said, if you do, you're going to be cursed. And we have the analogy of the mystery Babylon, those people deceived by the lie-fly proverb, trying to get up, but suspended between heaven and hell. And then in chapter 6, he told God's elect to rebuild the temple. Now, in the natural, the house of Judah had been in captivity to Nebuchadnezzar 70 years. And when they came back to Jerusalem, the temple was stones thrown in a heap. It's a symbol of God's very elect, and we're going to find out two special people tonight he's going to use to rebuild, reform, reconstruct the many-membered body of Christ, for you are the temple of the living God. So this is entitled, Rebuilding the Temple, not a building made with hands.
Chapter 7, verse 1. And it came to pass in the fourth year of King Darius that the word of the Lord came unto Zechariah in the fourth day of the ninth month, even in Chislev.
In Chaldee. Now this would be our late November and early December. Now, you want to watch. He's giving us even dates. We don't know the day of the hour for Jesus' coming, but we're going to watch. We had one recently, which was February, and something happened that day, and then in March. So he says our late November and our early December. Now he's going to tell us what happened then. And remember, Paul says those things happened to them as an example for those of us at the end. Let's see what's going to happen.
When they had sent unto the house of God Sherezer and Regemmelech.
Okay, so he sends in the natural two people. Now, we're going to find out why he sends them. We're going to find out that he sends these two anointed people to actually teach the priest in the church so the church can get rebuilt. They are really like the two witnesses. Sherezer means prince of fire. No gender, could be princess of fire, a firebrand, an anointed minister of fire. Regemmelech means friend of the king, a friend of Jesus. He also has another meaning to his name, stones thrown together in a heap. Sherezer and Regemmelech know that the body of Christ at the end time is a bunch of stones thrown together in a heap. You are a living stone, Christian, and you're out of order. You're in a heap. You got one verse there and one person here and a baby there and a lifeline proverb here and an Easter egg hunt on Passover. You got all this mess. And so he sends Sherezer and Regemmelech, and we're going to find out their further instructions. First of all, to pray.
And their men to pray before the Lord. 3, and to speak unto the priests which were in the house of
God. In other words, to teach all of the priests. Now, these are like the two witnesses, and they're in human form, and they are like teaching to the 7,000 elect and to the pastors and preachers who will listen. So these are called to teach the real truth and get the pastors and preachers back in order. The house of God is Bethel, house of God.
And to the prophet, saying, should I weep in the fifth month?
Now, this is very important. The children of the house of Judah there had been warned by the prophet Jeremiah. You can read that in Jeremiah's book. To repent, repent, repent. Jeremiah had cried unto them. And he said, hear the word of the Lord. If you don't repent, you're going to go into captivity into Babylon 70 years. But they would not repent. They would not repent. Now, when they saw they were going to be captured, when they realized that Nebuchadnezzar was going to get them, then they called a fast. Now, that sounds like a holy thing, doesn't it? But they were going to fast so God's word would not come true. God had said, if you repent, you won't have to go into captivity. They did not repent, so God says you're going to go 70 years into captivity. Whom God loves, he chastises. So they were fasting not to seek God's face, not to do God's will, not to find their place in his work, but so that he would change his word. I've had people come to me and say, let's have a whole day of prayer and fasting to keep the Antichrist from coming. Well, that would be blasphemy on my part. It is written, he shall come. He's about to come at the sixth trumpet, and it's to test your mettle. I mean, some of you worship him the first earth age. You're going to get another chance to see if you're going to do that or not. The first earth age, you're in your spiritual body, lest anybody out there think anything else. And so, no, I'm not going to pray against God's word. That's not the reason for fasting. Fasting is a very good thing, but see, they were fasting for the wrong reason, to change the word of God. They were not interested in God. They were interested in their comfort. They fasted for stuff.
separating myself, as I have done these so many years.
These 70 years, even during that whole 70 years captivity, they still fasted to be freed, but they didn't fast that they would please God or repent of their sins or know Him or please Him. Just get us out of this and get us back to our comfort zone. I want to be comfortable.
4. Then came the word of the Lord of hosts unto me, saying, 5. Speak unto all the people of the land and to the priests, saying, when ye fasted and mourned in the 5th and 7th month.
Now God says, when you went ahead and fasted that 5th month after you realized you were in captivity, something bad happened because you were fasting against the word of God. That was when the temple there was thrown into heaps. And in the 7th month, their leader of the house of Judah, Gedaliah, was killed. So see, we don't ever take the holy things of God, praying or fasting or giving, to change God's word. Actually, I pray and fast and give that God's word will come true, don't you?
Even those 70 years, did ye at all fast unto me?
They weren't thinking of him. They just wanted him to give them their comforts back. Why do you fast? Why do you pray? Why do you give? Is it so that God will give something to you? Or if he never gave you another thing or never helped you again, do you love him enough? Just do you love him? Him, the person. We're going to learn how to seek the Lord and not his stuff.
Even to me. 6. And when you did eat, and when you did drink, did not you eat for yourselves and drink for yourselves?
Before you went into captivity, when I had blessed you and spoiled you rotten, as Deuteronomy 32 says, Yeshua waxed fat, you turned away from me. But even in your temple services, even in your church services, when you had your church dinners, your pancake breakfast, your reception, you weren't sitting there and talking and praising me. You were munching away and talking to each other about your stuff. I've been in church all my life. I've been to 500,000 church socials. You hardly ever find where that Jesus then is the Lord of that. But I can attest, when Scott Merson has his presentation recently, the Scripture Picture Ministry, we had wonderful refreshments by his wife, Angela. And people cornered me over here with lemonade and cookies and a sandwich and said, give me a prayer cloth, Sherry, pray over it. I'm over here praying my heart out and fire on prayer cloths. We're munching away and praying. See, when you go to lunch, Jesus is supposed to be with you. When you go on a date, Jesus is supposed to be with you. You, everything in your life, Jesus is there. If you leave him out, you have betrayed him.
Amen. 7. Should you not hear the words that the Lord hath cried by the former prophets?
Meaning Jeremiah. Jeremiah went, repent, repent, repent. Hear the word of the Lord. If you don't, you're going to go into captivity. They would not listen. Now, this is interesting. You might want to make a note of this. Proverbs 13:13. Proverbs 13:13 says, he that despiseth the word shall be destroyed. He that despiseth the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. Fear is revered to love. Commandment is the word. So he that loves the word shall be rewarded. You're loving the word, so there's a reward for us. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
They despise the word. But you know, you Christians say, I don't despise the word. I go to church all the time. But how much word do you get? And do you even care to hear the depth of God's word? Are you addicted to God's word? That's his voice, you know.
When Jerusalem was inhabited and in prosperity.
Even in those good times.
And the cities thereof round about her. When men inhabited the south and the plain.
When America was prosperous, when America was free, when America was so rich. Oh, Christians, what did you do? You went the way of Baal. You acted just like the world. Your activities were just like those. Your conversation. Oh, yes, you still went to church, but you were not dedicated to God. You went just like that. You didn't fast for God. You weren't hungry for God. You went the way of the world, America, and now you're in captivity. which is why we're having a day of repentance, May 21st, 9 a.m., right on this network.
8. And the word of the Lord came unto Zechariah, saying, verse 9, thus saith the Lord of hosts, saying, execute true judgment.
Execute true judgment. Now, this is a fantastic little expression. Execute is a military term meaning action, get at it, do it. Now, it's not talking about judgment day. It's talking about when you're in charge, you're a Christian, do the right thing. Do you not know that you shall judge angels? You shall rule and reign with him. Now, everyone under the sound of my voice is living out a sentence that you yourself have passed judgment. You have passed judgment on yourself. How is that, you say? Now, it can be blessing or it can be cursing. Proverbs 16:10, a divine sentence is in the lips of the king. You are kings and priests. A divine sentence is in your lips. Words have power. Proverbs 18:21, death and life's in the power of the tongue. Matthew 12, verse 36 and 37, Jesus said, every idle word that men shall speak, he shall give account of in judgment. For by your words you are justified, and by your words you are condemned. Matthew 15:18, therefore, those things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. In other words, many of you said, I can't, I don't have enough money, I'm too young, I'm too old, I'm too sick, I don't have enough talent, I don't have enough education, I don't have this, I don't have that. And there you sit, defeated. You see, now Romans 10:10 says, with the mouth confession is made into salvation. And of course we always use that to get a person saved. But salvation, listen carefully, this is a teachable moment. Salvation means lots of things in the Greek. It means help, deliverance, supply, healing, aid, freedom. Now let's just say you need help. So we can say, and not change the Bible, salvation means help. We can say, with the mouth confession is made unto help. All right, what do you do with your mouth? Your lips speak, right? So let's go. It is written.
It is written.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
I will lift up mine eyes.
I will lift up my eyes.
Unto the hills.
Unto the hills.
From which cometh my help.
From which cometh my help.
My help.
My help.
Cometh from the Lord.
Cometh from the Lord.
Which made heaven.
Which made heaven.
And earth. There you have it. See? And whatever it is, with a mouth confession is made into salvation. Now, you just remember that. Are you executing judgment? When you speak or pray over another person, if you say, oh Lord, she's so sick, I ask you to heal. Of course you do. Don't tell God she's sick. Lord, you're able to heal her. Your word, thank you for hearing this prayer for healing. Every time you say, oh, we pray that you will heal her, after that one initial prayer and anointing's on, you are delaying the healing. Christians, you judge people and hurt and delay. Death and life's in the power of the tongue. A divine sentence is the lips of a king. Whoa, hallelujah. By your words you're justified. By your words you're condemned. Whoo, that'll preach, won't it? Now, what he's doing here, Sherry Zer and Reagan Mellick are rebuilding the church. We're restructuring it. We're telling the priest and the congregation how to live. So you just got that part. So this would be good gospel, Jesus telling us how to live as Christians.
Show mercy and compassion, every man to his brother.
Now, in the natural there, that would be a brother, would be one born of the womb of Israel. And so now we can say a brother or sister of the church. We show compassion. We have to bear one another's burdens. We never wait for the person to call us when we know they're in trouble. We call them. We're the first one to arrive. We feel their pain. We cry with them. We rejoice with them. However, great compassion and love for the brother is also called tough love. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, he said, therefore, withdraw yourself from a brother who walks disorderly. If it's an order, it's God. If it's disorder, it's confusion. And the devil is the author of confusion. And it says, yet not count him as an enemy. Once you have seen someone in the church or your own family, they are living in sin, and you know it's sin, once you talk to them about it and they refuse, tell them you love them. For every time you sit and smile at them and eat with them and don't mention their sin and act like what they're doing is good, you are enabling them. For every time you give one more drink to an alcoholic or one more drug shot to someone else. But when you, this doesn't mean that you hate them, but he says withdraw from them, not as an enemy, tell them you love them. But see, when we socialize in their sins, if they won't hear the gospel, then we're saying it's all right. What a wonderful sinner you are. Let's have dinner together. Only time you have dinner with sinners is to get them saved. Watch Jesus. He dined with sinners, but he didn't do it for social. He did it to get them saved, right? Okay, 2 Thessalonians 3:6. Everybody better listen.
10. And oppress not the widow nor the fatherless.
Now, we know that the Bible tells us true religion, undefiled, is to take care of widows and orphans. In Bible time, they had to be taken care of. But there's a deeper meaning. Of course, all of us love widows and orphans. I have taken care of this widow for 13 years in many, many ways, and many orphans. We have whole orphans come to our school we've taken care of. We all do that. We all do that. But this is what it means. A widow in the Hebrew means divorced. This means a man or a woman who is divorced from God. Jeremiah 3:8, God divorced Israel. They're not saved. A fatherless is one, an orphan is one who is fatherless. God the Father is not their father. They might even be the child of the devil. So what it means, you in the church, have compassion on the brother, love the Christians that are trying, reprimand those who are living in sin. If they won't hear you, withdraw yourself from them, tell them you love them, but you'll call them when they get the act straight. But then you get people saved, so they won't be a widow divorced anymore, so they won't be the fatherless anymore. That is the true meaning of widows and orphans. We do that here.
The stranger nor the
stranger in the Hebrew is zur, z-u-r. That could be a Kenite, someone who's not of the church of God. We welcome sinners here. Sinners, you're welcome, but then you have to get converted.
And let none of you imagine evil against your brother in your heart.
Jesus said it best in Matthew 7, around about verse 10. All things whatsoever you would that men should do unto you, do ye also unto them. For this is the law and the prophets. Put yourself in their place. What would you want them to do for you? Do that to them.
11, but they refused to hearken and pulled away the shoulder.
Now that's in Hebraism, pulled away the shoulder. In other words, it might take 4 horses to pull a wagon. If one of the horses just removes his shoulder and sits down, the wagon won't run. We're the many-membered body of Christ. Remember, Sherry Zur and Reagan Mellick here are sent by God, two anointed ones, firebrands, to get the church straightened back out again. And so we say, everybody, you got a part in this. Just like this day of repentance, some of you are going to let me do all the work. Somebody said, why you, Sherry? I said, nobody else will come up. I will. And so you are supposed to, why don't each one of you notify somebody in all 50 states? Make it your job. It's your job. You are part of the member of the body of Christ. I don't care if you're the spleen, you're important. God put everybody in the body of Christ. You have something to do, some place to be. So everybody take your place, and then we'll be a whole body, a whole church. But what's the matter? The reason we're a heap of stones and lopsided, we got just a few people who carry the load, and the others sit and watch the show. All right, everybody take your place. Pull your load, okay? Everybody do your part. It's such a blessing. Jesus says that we would just be together, fitly joined together, one accord, no discord. Jesus is Lord. I made up that last little part there. And so it's such a blessing to be aligned in heart and spirit and deed and working together for the Lord. So Christians, find your place and get there and be there. Every time you miss, every time you're late, every time you don't pray, every time you don't support, maybe that's all you have to do or give or whatever, then you are hurting the body of Christ, and then ultimately you are the one to hurt because you're in the body. You're hurting yourself.
And stopped their ears that they should not hear.
I don't want to hear that. Close up my ears. I don't want to hear that I'm going to be here when the Antichrist comes. I want to fly away in my hot air balloon. I'm a baby.
12, yea, they made their hearts as an adamant stone.
Hard stone. Now, hearts in the Hebrew here means mind. Their mind was hard. Their head was hard. Hard-headed, stubborn, rebellious, just refusing to listen. I'll just do it my way. I just will find my own way. I'll study my own Bible. I don't want to go to church. Hard-headed, would not listen to the Word of God. Oh, as the town crier says, hear ye, hear the Word of the Lord.
Lest they should hear the law and the Word which the Lord of hosts hath sent in his Spirit.
The Holy Spirit wrote the Bible, dictated it. Lest you should hear the law, which is the word of God. If only you knew, my dear people, the mysteries and the majestic pearls and jewels that are in this Bible, the third level mystery. We offer it here. You would fall in love with God all over again because he wrote you this love letter.
By the former prophets, therefore came a great wrath from the Lord of hosts. 13, therefore it has come to pass that as he cried, and they would not hear.
All right, they were marching in chains to Babylon. They wouldn't hear, and they knew they had 70 years. They hung their harps on a weeping willow tree, and they cried, God, get us out of this. Get us back to our comfort zone. But not once did they say, we love you. We want you. We're so sorry we didn't obey you. We'll accept this chastisement, Father God. But we love you. We realize the reason you're whipping us, you're spanking us, because you love us. There is nothing more pitiful than a child who has never been disciplined by the parents. You don't love them. They're not your friend. You're in charge of them. Hallelujah, to make them and turn them into a person of God. And that's where they were. They weren't even crying, oh, get us out of our trouble. Spoiled, rotten.
So they cried, and I would not hear.
Now see, there's a point that it's too late. It was too late for them. God gave them a chance. America, it's about to be too late for you. God has put this on my heart. It's fire shut up in my bones. And remember, May 21st, at 9 o'clock in the morning on this particular network, wherever how are you listening now, we're going to have a day of repentance for all America. I want you to join me. We're not having a show. We're not having beautiful music. We're not preaching sermons. We're going to weep and wail and praise 2 Chronicles 7:14, and we're going to call out the sins of America and the body of Christ, and we're going to confess. This is our last chance. America, repent, or else you will become a third world nation. Very quickly.
Saith the Lord of hosts.
Saith the Lord of hosts.
14, but I scattered them with a whirlwind among all the nations.
Whirlwind, usually in the Hebrew, means a chariot of fire. The highly polished bronze chariot of fire vehicle of Ezekiel and Elijah went up in one. In this time, it means a tempest. Remember, there were 12 tribes. He's talking about the house of Judah. They were captured by Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, and they were in captivity 70 years. 200 years before that, the other 10 tribes called the house of Israel. Isaiah says they were captured by Sennacherib the Assyrian. And history tells us they migrated over the Caucasus Mountains, settled Europe, and migrated to the United States of America.
Which they knew not.
but you know that not. You call yourselves the lost tribes of Israel. You do not know because you have not been listening to every word of God. Well, the bulk of the 10 tribes of Israel are here. Our brother Judah, whom we love very much, is in the land of Israel. We are all Hebrew, all 12 tribes of us. Some of you are Gentiles, but some of you don't even know your heritage. Now, we've been scattered. It was because of sin.
Thus the land was desolate after them.
Jerusalem.
That no man passed through nor returned. For they laid the pleasant land.
The pleasant land would be Jerusalem. The word desolate is very important here. Because it's not a condition, it's an entity. Jesus says in Mark 13, when you see the abomination of desolation standing where he ought not, don't go there. It shouldn't be desolation in the Greek. It's a mistranslation. It means desolator. Daniel says the enemy, the Antichrist, will come on wings of the desolator. That will be the Antichrist, the dragon, calling himself the Lamb. The dragon is the devil, Revelation 2:2, and John the Baptist said the Lamb is Jesus. He will land his feet there in Jerusalem, and that he is that desolator. And that's what happened to them. Now, we have this chance in America, so we want you to come and join us, that we be not like these people. Let's not shut our ears. Let's not be hard-headed. Let's hear the word of God. Come on, America, May 21st, 9 a.m. on this network. Everybody, reach tons of people. Email, text, tweet, web page, Facebook, any way you can, and get them out. Contact all kinds of media stations and email, and get your telephone book and just go down and name all the Christians in all the states. Let's get together. We've got one more chance for God to save America, and as Donald Trump says, make America great again. God bless America. All right, well, it's time now. We'll begin right there, by the way, next time in chapter 8. It's going to be the restoration. Hallelujah. I can't wait, can you? See, we're very close. Mystery moment to uncover the mystery of God. Joel 2 says, the blow the trumpet in Zion, so we obey. We've got time for just one question today, I think. Dear Sherry Trumpet, I want to fast, but I'm not able to do a long fast. Do you have any way that you can help me? Absolutely. I have a wonderful fast. It's a 9-hour prayer novena. 9 is a number of completion. What you do, if at all possible, take one of your days of vacation. Take a day off or a day and tell all of your family you love them, but be gone. Find you a secret place, get you some water, your Bible, shut off your cell phone, and go in there. Now you start out by praising God, and you remind him that Jesus said, ask and ye shall receive, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. In the Greek, ask, seek, knock, each one is an accelerated, intense, more passionate than the other. Ask, seek. Knock, in other words, and say, Father, for 9 hours here, every hour on the hour, I'm going to pray, and here is my petition. Now, like the minor prophet says, write it down. The minor prophet says, write it on a tablet, that write the vision on a tablet that they may read that run it. Write it down and put it there. And then mark. If you start at 7 in the morning, 7, 8, 9, 10, go on every time. Now, every hour on the hour, don't go asking for other things. And in between time, you may drink your water, read your Bible. Take time to listen to him. Don't do all the talking. Let him talk to you. This is a good time for you to learn to hear his voice. And every hour on the hour, you repeat that. When you get to about 6, you're going to feel that you're being interrupted there. Somebody might come knocking on your door. You already told them not to. Don't even answer. Let it go. And in other words, or the devil might tell you he's not paying any attention to you. 6 is a number to depraved mankind, and 6 is the number of the devils. Keep at it. Number 7, you're going to start feeling, whoa, I kind of feel the spirit here. I'm getting lighter here. And by 8, new beginnings, you're there. Boy, I got it. Whoa, I'm getting there. And then 9, you say, hallelujah, Father, for 9 straight hours I have given this petition to you. And I want to thank you for hearing me. And I know, Father God, that you've heard me, and I thank you. And when I hear you, I have the petition I ask of you, and I praise you, Lord. Now, you're going to find that from hour to hour, as you completely do this, that the hours are going to merge into the next one. You're going to be talking to him, and he's talking to you, and you're praising him and seeking his face, and his left hand's under your head, his right hand doth embrace you, and his mitre is on your head, and you're going to find that the hours merge together. So when he finished one, it's time for another, a date with God. That's how you do it. Hallelujah.
Yeah, hallelujah.
Praise God. I hope that blesses you. Well, I want all of you to come and live with me in Father's house forever. He's coming soon. We're in the fifth trump now, a time of learning. It will soon come to an end. The fallen angels are about to appear. The two witnesses are going to be on the scene 10 days before the Antichrist. He's coming soon at the sixth trump. His time has been shortened for the elect's sake, Mark 13, Revelation 9. The seventh trump shall sound, and Jesus shall come. Now is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may be too late. So if you're not saved, please pray this prayer with me. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I ask you to forgive me for all my sins.
I ask you to forgive me for all my sins.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. Wash my sins away with the blood of Jesus. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Grow me in your word.
Use me.
To bear much fruit.
For your glory.
To enlarge your territory. I love you.
I thank you.
Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
Now, if you prayed that, my announcer's going to give you my telephone number in a few minutes. Please leave that message and leave your name clearly, and I will put you on my daily prayer list. God bless you. Read your Bible every day and pray, and if you can, come over here or listen to my program so you can get every word of God. Go somewhere where you get book, chapter, verse, and line with anointing from the manuscripts by someone who's not trying to get your money or trying to get fame or fortune. Just put it all in. See, we're reforming the church here. Now, for those of you who are sick, in the mighty name and the power of Jesus, Father, I ask that the Son of Righteousness now arise with healing in your wings. Let the healing virtue of Jesus flow out to the north, the south, and the east and west. Wherever there is pain, pain stop. Jesus bore your pains. Wherever there is sinus problems, let the sinuses be made whole. Let there be no drainage. Migraine headaches be gone in Jesus' mighty name. Colon cancer be gone. Pancreatic cancer be gone in Jesus' name. Feet and toes be healed in Jesus' name. Blood streams be made pure. Cancers, blood issues be taken care of. Fibromyalgia, arthritis, diabetes, in the name of Jesus, diabolical demon, be gone in Jesus' name. Deaf ears hear, blind eyes see, in the name and the power of Jesus. Skin be healed, breast, backbone, spine, sad hearts be made glad. Let not your heart be troubled. Oh, Father God, in Jesus' name, reach out and embrace migraine headaches again. I say to you, somebody's got one. Get it out. Go, be gone, and gone, gone, gone in Jesus' name. Depression be gone. Demons flee. Jesus is Lord. With Jesus' stripes you were healed. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He sent his word and healed you. See, now that was executing judgment. Thank you, Father. We give you glory. Now, if you were healed, and some of you were, feel free to call and tell us that. We give God the glory. Now, I want to invite all of you here at my school each Sunday, 5 p.m., and each Wednesday, prayer warriors on Wednesday, to roll up our sleeves and pray. We do a little exercise of walking in the Word, and then we roll up our sleeves and praying just this America and church back where it's supposed to be. 6:30 on Wednesday. Now, the day of repentance, May 21st, 9 o'clock in the morning, right here on Trumpet of Truth. Those of you in this area can get me a radio, 91.5 FM, as you're doing now. Those of you who are listening by net, WMIEFM.com. Connect, connect, connect. Elect, elect, elect. We want all of you, all over this nation to join us. This is not a show. We don't want showbiz. We're not going to do this. This is, we are humbly just putting dust on our heads and crying out for the sins of America, that God will make us great one more time. Great for Jesus and great for the world. I love you. God bless you. Now, everything you get is yours to give away. This truth is not yours to keep. It is a sin for you not to tell these beautiful truths you're getting. They are jewels. And when you have jewels, you want to show your pretty jewels to everybody. Go and tell. Remember this about Yeshua, Jesus. His name is called the Word of God. In John 17:17, Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." God bless and keep each one of you. Do you know that I feel your spirits out there? Even when I pre-record, I still feel that. And I love you. And I know we're coming together as one. And that was Jesus' prayer. Stay in the Word, win souls to Jesus, and pray for America. God bless you. And if it is His will, I will see you next time.
Been listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. You're invited to call Sherry at 321-632-4631. That's 321-632-4631. Join us next week at this same time for Trumpet of Truth.
Chance to change it. He calms the storm so that its waves are still. Hear the sound? On WMIE 91.5 FM.
When the mountains look so big. Fears away. To my heart I preach your sovereignty and the power of your name. I stand in awe of you.
You a fear and of pain. I haven't watched the tears fall plenty from heartache and strain. So if life's journey has you weary and afraid, there's rest in the shadow of his wings. I have walked through the valleys, the mountains and plains. I have held the hand of freedom that washes all my stains. If you feel the weight of many trials and burdens from this world, there's freedom in the shelter of the Lord. I have seen the healing hand of God reaching out and mending broken hearts. Taste and see the fullness of his peace, and hold on to what's been held out, the healing hand of God. I have touched the scars upon his hands to see if they've been real. He has walked the road before me. He knows just how I feel. When you feel that there's not anyone who understands your pain, just remember all of Jesus' suffering. 'Cause I have seen the healing hand of God.